Very simply, this was always a political project. The French are in the moment are celebrating 100 years anniversary of the Battle of Verdun, where 16 million shells were lobbed and 25% of them didn't go off. And that drove a guy called Jean Monnet absolutely clear determination that this catastrophic conflict could never happen again. And his solution was to have a supranational organisation, complete determination to overrule decisions by member states. They thought they cracked it with the League of Nations, which had a council, assembly, court, and commission, just like the European Union does. But he just rather missed the big picture. On the day the panzers went over the border into Poland, the League of Nations was debating the standardisation of road signs at level crossings. And Monnet and Salter, an English civil servant, came up absolutely driven by the idea, we are going to create something which is supranational, quite deliberately organised to overrule member states. So they came up with the coal and steel community, overreached himself trying to create the European army, and then went underground. And the whole project was driven under the guise of advancing the market, but actually to advance the project of creating a supranational organisation. So even Mrs. Thatcher, through gritted teeth, when she gave up the vetoes to advance the market, she was hugely advancing the cause, as Jacques Delors knew. We've now come to a fork in the road. And where we are is this, we're not got a choice in 3 weeks' time today, have a simple choice on a benign, sensible organisation around trade. What we've got a choice of is whether we're going to be somewhere on the outside of a new entity. They published the Five Presidents' Report last year in June, which is absolutely clear, splendidly candid, actually, for the European project. They tell us exactly where they're going to go. They've got currency union, going to have monetary union, fiscal union, economic union, and lastly, political union by 2025. And that is what's going to happen to the Eurozone. And they're very sensible. The only way you can run a currency is to be able to transfer money from the wealth-creating areas like Texas to basket cases like Arkansas. And that's what has to happen now. You have to be able to transfer money from the wealth-creating areas like southern Germany, Bavaria, Baden-Württemberg, down to Greece or southern Spain, where there are completely grotesque levels of unemployment and human suffering. I mean, 51% of youth unemployment. It's completely extraordinary how they've held this project together, driving it along. But we can never go there. No matter who's in charge, whichever party's in charge, the UK will never, ever join the euro now. It'll never join Schengen, given the nightmare we're in with migrants. So we'll have some very dangerous new status. We'll be somewhere floating around, some sort of associate status outside the inner core, guaranteed to be outvoted, guaranteed to be outvoted in the European Parliament, where even our whole gang got their act together, we only got 9% of the votes, guaranteed to be outvoted in the Council, where David Cameron's been outvoted 40 times, and above all, overruled by the Court of Justice. So the big shot for me when I went from here to DEFRA day one to find we are being fined, disallowance in EU speak, £650 million for the manner in which the last Labour government introduced CA reform, not to the satisfaction of the Commission. There's no comeback. £650 million of real money, and Northern Ireland's equally been caught up in that. So my vision is we wish them well. I think given the history of currency unions in the 19th century, it's a long shot if it's going to work, because it should really go back much more to a Deutsche Mark zone around the German economy. But we've got to wish them well. They're our neighbours. We want them to go well. They have stagnated, don't forget. In the time that we've been in the EU, our exports have been stable. Our exports to the rest of the world have grown by 43%. And the EU is extraordinarily bad at doing international trade deals. I was involved in the TTIP negotiations with the American Agriculture Secretary, and everything was hung up around the Greek definition of feta. We desperately need to be doing trade deals with China, as tiny countries like Australia or New Zealand have done compared to us. We should be doing deals with India. But above all, we need to get our seat back on the world bodies, where increasing decisions are made. Everyone bangs on about Brussels regulation. Increasingly, rules are made at the world level, where we no longer have a vote. For instance, on the World Trade Organization, we're represented by what I'm sure is an absolutely brilliant, charming lady, an expert in her field. But choice for me would not be a Swedish psychiatric nurse whose last job was teaching sociology at Gothenburg University. I would have someone with real gritty experience of the UK economy. So that is where the future is going to be. That's where the action is going to be. And increasingly, the EU will be a participant and rules will be made at world level and then cascaded down back through the EU. It would be just so much better if we had our real position on those bodies. And then administering EU schemes. You touched on agriculture. I mentioned that very briefly. When I was in charge of the CAP negotiations, it's morphing from a food environment support food and social support system to an environment system, which is completely impossible. There are certain rules which we knew wouldn't work. Well, I really, really tried. I got all sorts of alliances and negotiations, but we were overruled. We've ended up with a very unsatisfactory regime. We could spend the same amount of money, or if we wanted to be like Norway, Switzerland or Iceland, we could spend more money on agriculture, but we would target it. And here you would have MLAs sitting for us who would understand the industry here, would understand the environment, working with local farming organisations. And we would bring it back down to local level rather than try to have an environment policy decided at continental level, which, as you've seen in the case of fish, has been utterly catastrophic. There's something like 1 million tonnes of fish has been chucked back into the sea, dead. We really tried as the UK government to reform it, but we couldn't change the fundamental basis that this is all part of the project. The thing has to be driven at continental level, unlike local level. So a lot of talk about where would we be with trade. We have a huge deficit with the current EU members. It's going to hit nearly 70 billion this year. There are 5 million EU citizens on the continent whose jobs depend on sales to the UK, 1 million Germans. If you take an iconic industry like the car trade, which has been completely revolutionised, all the scare stories we heard of the ERM and the Euro, that Nissan would draw stumps and disappear. Nissan run the most efficient car plant in Western Europe. It makes more cars than the sadly, tragically shrunken Italian car industry put together. And Nissan have voted to put in £100 million to build a new car there. So they're not going to up sticks. If you take the total volume, we're going to hit, 1.7 million cars this year? Heading for 2 million. But we also make 2.6 million engines. Where do the engines go? The surplus engines go to car plants in France and Germany, and they come back as finished products. It is inconceivable. It is completely inconceivable that in election year you are going to have Merkel and Hollande upsetting key constituents such as their car industry and the car workers. We are the fifth largest economy in the world. We will come to a satisfactory arrangement with our neighbours, but it will release us to trade with the rest of the world. And here in Northern Ireland, Northern Ireland will have the best of everything. Having got corporation tax through, you'll be able to compete with the Republic of Ireland, but have all the advantages of being part of the fifth largest economy, which will really take its place pushing for world free trade, all the advantages of the stability of the UK, our legal system. And it's a massive double advantage for Northern Ireland to vote for Brexit. Thank you very much.